So when I started thinking about a topic for my lesson this morning, I looked at the notes that I had taken at the camp out a few weeks ago, because I knew there was an idea in there that I had made during one of the lessons that I wanted to speak on or possibly speak on. So I wanted to kind of revisit that and also look through my other notes to see if something else stood out to me as a possible something to think about. So as I looked over my notes, I saw that idea, and I still like that idea, but then as I kept going through my notes, just about every day, there was something that tied back to that original idea. So, there you go. So this morning, you get to hear from my campout notes. Sunday morning, the very first lesson that I heard at the campout, Sunday morning, Corbin Tetterow gave a lesson speaking about the dangers of our sexual desires. And I believe he was using the example of Joseph fleeing from Potiphar's wife as a way of avoiding those desires. And he said something that struck me a little bit differently about that story. He asked, "Why flee only far enough away?" Or, "How far is far enough?" Why flee only far enough away, or how far is far enough? So Joseph fled from Potiphar's wife, and he was tempted by her advances towards him. But how far did he flee? How far did he run away? Genesis 39:12 says, "He fled and ran outside." Joseph fled from his temptation, which was good. It was good that he didn't stick around where the temptation was. He fled outside. Only fled outside. If this was a temptation, this strong of a temptation, why wouldn't he flee further? If this was a struggle for him, not just go outside, leave the city, leave the country. I mean, keep running. Obviously, we all know that God had plans for Joseph. And it worked out, obviously, to everyone's benefit. But Joseph didn't know God's plan. What did he think that he had fled just far enough to get away from that temptation? That was far enough. So when we're tempted, do we think that we can flee just far enough away from our temptations? And if so, how far is far enough? How far is far enough when we're fleeing from our temptations? If we were in a physical war, we would probably know our enemy's weapons range. I was curious about this. During the Civil War, cannons could frequently hit targets over a mile away. Some cannons even had a range of 2 miles, which I thought was kind of staggering. This big cannonball going 2 miles. It's kind of scary. So if you were getting fired at the Civil War and you didn't want to get hit, just go about 2 miles away and you'd be relatively safe. You could flee. You would know how far to flee. But we're not in a physical war. We are in a spiritual war. So when fleeing our temptations, fleeing our worldly desires, how far do we flee? How far is far enough? There isn't a safe place. So as I was making these notes during Corbin's lesson, I was reminded of the TV show I watched in the 80s and 90s, The Incredible Hulk. Yeah, some of you already know that I liked that show as a kid, and there's many other stories that we could go off on that show. But in this show, obviously, Bruce Banner would transform into a giant green monster when he got angry. So Banner trying to hide. And there were people chasing him. A reporter was chasing him. So he always had to hide as he went around from town to town. He traveled the country hiding town to town so that he wouldn't get caught. But he always ended up staying too long in one place, getting too comfortable in one place. So then the Hulk would make his weekly appearance. And then he'd get in trouble. And then he'd have to move on again. Bruce Banner's monster was inside of him. That's what was causing the trouble that he had to run from. He couldn't run far enough away to escape what was inside him. There was nowhere far enough to run. We have a monster inside of us as well. A monster that desires the things of this world. And we need to run from it, and we need to flee from it, but it isn't a matter of distance. Fleeing, in this sense, is turning our eyes away from the things that we shouldn't be looking at, turning our ears away from the things that we shouldn't be listening to, turning our minds away from the things that we shouldn't be thinking about, not doing the things we shouldn't be doing. That is fleeing. That is running away from our desires. So it's not a physical distance, it's a spiritual one. It's an emotional one, thoughtful one. So the next lesson on Sunday, well, it wasn't the very next one, but it was later Sunday. Jason Range gave a lesson, and in it was about exhaustion. And in it, he said that it is okay to be exhausted. And he said, weariness is not weakness. Weariness is not weakness. So when we are endlessly running, endlessly fleeing from our temptations, constantly trying to think about, see the things, feel the things that we're supposed to be feeling, not what we shouldn't, that can get tiring. We can get exhausted doing those things. And it's okay to be exhausted. Weariness is not weakness. Just because we're tired doesn't mean we're weak. Jason Range gave the example of Jesus being tired, being weary. And I've heard this story numerous times, and I never quite picked up on this, but this is the story of Jesus speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well. And I'm just going to read verse 6, John 4:6. Jesus has gotten to the well. It says that Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. Jesus was wearied from his journey. So Jesus was tired. We know in other places that Jesus got tired, but just seeing it that word, Jesus was wearied. So he was exhausted. He was worn out. So it's okay to be exhausted. Jason also gave the example of David. Numerous examples of David. The one that I wrote down was Psalms 32, showing how David was weary. Psalms 32, I'll read verses 1 through 4. Blessed is the man whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. My bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. My strength was dried up. Jason also said in his lesson, when we're weary, we need the Lord for rest to treat our exhaustion. The Lord is what treats our exhaustion. When we're tired, when we're weary, turn to Him. That's what David did. When he was being silent, when he was not going to the Lord for help, his strength was drying up. So continuing that, still Psalms 32, now 5 through 7. I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Just because we're tired doesn't mean we're weak. It's because we're not going to Jesus. We need to go to Jesus, go to God, and he will preserve us. He will surround us. And I can't very well talk about being weary and tired and not mention Matthew 11. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we get exhausted from endlessly fleeing our temptations, turn to the Lord. But we can't always outrun our temptations. So still doing the fleeing, even though it's not a physical fleeing, we're not really running, mentally running, spiritually running. We cannot always outrun our temptations. Sometimes we will be tempted. We can't run from them, but we will be tempted. We will face trials in our lives. On Monday at the meeting, J. Graham called these trials our wilderness. It was a wilderness, because a wilderness is a place of discomfort. The Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years, so it was their place of discomfort. And they learned lessons while in the wilderness, and Jay covered a lot of those, some of those lessons. But there were three sentences, three phrases that Jay said that I liked, that I wrote down. Trials help us deal with temptations. Diamonds become precious because of pressure. When the world is too comfortable, we forget to trust in God. Sometimes we can't escape our temptations, that we are going to face these trials. We are going to be in a wilderness, a place of discomfort. But we need to face these trials. We need to face this pressure so that we can become precious to God. And trials help us from getting too comfortable. We are not supposed to be comfortable in this world, because this world is not our home. We're going to be comfortable when we finally get to our home. That's when we can be comfortable. Bruce Banner got in trouble when he got too comfortable. That's when he got caught. We can't be comfortable in this world. On Tuesday at the camp out, Charles Fry had a class about God providing for his people. And he was referencing a lot in Deuteronomy chapter 8, giving an example of God providing for his people. And it lists, obviously, the manna that God provided to him, the land, the promised land that he had given to them. Charles made note of this in the class, and I hadn't caught on to it before. But in Deuteronomy 8 and 4, just shows the level how God does provide for them. Deuteronomy 8 and 4, it says, Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. For 40 years, their clothing did not wear out. I never caught on to that before, that for 40 years, they wore the same clothes. So, and then I was kind of looking into that. So even if possibly they had gained weight and needed new clothes, they didn't need new clothes. Their clothes lasted 40 years, and their feet did not swell. So even all the wandering they were doing, their feet never got tired either. They never got worn out. But God provided these things for his people. But throughout that chapter 8, he's talking about he's providing them to him, to them, but he just doesn't give them to them right away. He lets them get hungry first, before he gives them food. He makes them humble. He humbled Israel so that they could realize who the provider is. And he humbles us too, so that we can realize who the provider is. God knows what we want and what we need, but he wants us to ask. He wants us to ask for these things because it humbles us. And he wants us to ask for even the small daily things. Another thing Charles brought up in his class was in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus is giving an example on how to pray. I'm not going to read the whole example, but because we're mostly familiar with it, but Matthew 6 and 11, verse 11 of that example of a prayer, Jesus says, "Give us this day our daily bread." And again, that's something, I mean, you hear that and then you just hear it. You don't hear it, but daily bread. So the daily, God wants to provide our daily needs, but again, we need to ask for them. because it humbles us, because we know then who is providing them to us. So when we're weary from endlessly fleeing our temptations, we need to go to God and ask Him for our daily needs. Wednesday, Tad Morris led a class on, it was titled God's Instrument of Salvation. It was about the church. It had seven things that we can observe from the church. Matthew 16, seven things that the church is, and seven ways the church is enough. I made just a few notes. I didn't see the connection during that class, but then going over the notes, preparing for this lesson, that relates to Charles Fry's class about God providing. God provides us the church. That's another way that God helps us, is through the church, and God provided that to us. The church acts as a body. We are a body. We're the body of Christ. So when one part of our physical body is tired, other parts can make up the difference to help that other part out. So the church can do that too. If one member is tired from fleeing from our temptations, this is a place we can come to get away from some of those pressures. We can gain support and strength from fellow Christians. It's a place we can ask for help. And God has provided the church for us. On Thursday, Rick Sparks led a class about the 40 authors, about 40 authors of the Bible, the about 40 miracles of Jesus, and the about 40 parables of Jesus. I wasn't really able to write down too many notes on this class. Shocker. Rick was going too fast. But two things that I did, well, I had two notes that I wrote down that I really liked. I'm going to give one now and one later. One of the things Rick said was, we know the sun is in the sky, not because we can see the sun, but because we can see everything else. So if it's like a cloudy day, if we're not looking up at the sun, just because we can't see the sun, we know the sun is still there because we can see everything else. Because of the light, if there was no sun, there would be no light to see anything else. So because we can see, we know the sun is there. So we can be assured that there is God, that God is there because we can see Him around us. We can see His work around us, and we have His word. 2 Peter 1:19 says, we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. So our Bibles have the fulfillment of hundreds of prophecies confirming that God keeps His word and that He is reliable. The Bible, the word of God, is like a light shining in the dark places for us. If we're tired of endlessly fleeing, we can go to the scripture for comfort, to be reminded that He is there and that He can help us, and we can turn to Him. On Friday, Charles Fry was back leading the final class titled Even the Demons Believe. So it was just that even the demons believe that God exists, that Jesus is God, we should too. During this class, Charles was referencing from 1 Peter chapter 3, saying that we need to suffer for righteousness, that we shouldn't fit into the world. So I'm going to read from 1 Peter 3, 13 through 17. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. We shouldn't want to fit into this world. So when we're fleeing from our temptations, it can be tempting to get comfortable because we're tired of not fitting in or not sticking out and trying to move away from the pressures of the world. But we're not supposed to. It's better to suffer for doing good. Glorify God through suffering, through endlessly fleeing from our temptations. And then he also had 1 Peter 4:19. Well, he had more from chapter 4. I just picked out 19. Therefore, let any who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Suffer according to God's will. So the other phrase I liked from Rick Sparks' class, he says, or said, "Who will trust me with a spiritual body when I haven't shown I can take care of a physical body? Who will trust me with a spiritual body when I haven't shown I can take care of a physical one?" So we need to take care of our physical body by endlessly fleeing from our temptations, by these worldly desires, by not getting comfortable in the world, by not looking at the things we're supposed to look at, not supposed to look at, by just behaving the way he wants us to behave. Because if we stop and we think we're safe, if we put our guard down, we may get caught. We need to keep fleeing, because how far is far enough? When we get tired, when we become weary and exhausted, we need to turn to God for strength, and he will provide, and he has provided his son for us. He has provided Jesus for us so that Jesus could die for us and provide us with a sacrifice that we can keep with us and take advantage of. And if you are needing this sacrifice to take advantage of so that you can have the strength when you need to call upon it, when you're weary and exhausted, you're invited to come forward.